Good afternoon, my Sunday drivers. It is so good to be back on this rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. I'm your host, Dr. William P. Butler, and I am so glad to be able to be with you on today. We have yet another rendition that we'd like to bring to you. But first, we just want to say thank you to all of our many, 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 many sponsors that are out there. Thank you so much to Mr. Jason Moore at Salon Knoxville. Thank you to Pastor Maples of the True Believers Church, of the Rock of Ages Baptist Church in Morristown. Woo-hoo! All right. We want to say thank you to all of our radio listeners and all of the states that we are reaching out and our extended audience over the internet and on Facebook. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you more than you know. Now, without further ado, we want to get down to the meat of the matter at heart. We have been talking and dealing with apologetics for a few years now, and we have some discussion that we were having over the internet and other places about Adam and Eve. Sin is an awful, awful thing. It actually comes about in all of our lives, for the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But many questions come about with the creation and about Adam and Eve itself. Well, there's a young man who has had some discussion with us and online and whatnot, and there was some discussion that was had concerning him and concerning the questions we were talking about on the internet. And he made a remark on the internet about Adam and Eve. And the remark was, you know, wouldn't everything just kind of settle itself out if, you know, when Adam found out Eve ate of the fruit, if he would just go ahead and kill her, you know, shouldn't that balance things out? We want to have a little bit of discussion about that topic, about the Adam and Eve story, just on today. Now, if you would like to submit your information or have some comments that you would like to place, you can feel free to shoot a text message to 865-306-6362. Or you can go ahead and just dial in. We'll unmute you. We'd like to talk to you on our studio audience. Just chime in, and we would like to talk to you. I have this discussion, and this discussion's going to be with some honored guests, and I hope that we have a dial in today by Mr. Rail Jones. Are you on the line, sir? I think he's having a technical difficulty on his line. Okay. While they get that worked out, I want to jump into this introductory period of our discussion. Okay. First, let's talk about Adam and Eve. The Bible says that in the beginning there was nothing. There wasn't any kind of form, but God stepped into the picture. The world was born. He made the planets, the sun, and made the moon, night and afternoon, made water and placed the fish in the sea, creatures of all kinds, grass, flowers, and trees, took dust from the earth and molded it in his hands, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and there was man. Live with God, you know. His name was Adam. Faith, love, and joy, all three, he had them. But Adam was lonely, and God could see. So he said, you know what? I'm going to make the first woman. I'm going to name her Eve. They lived together, hand in hand, doing things side by side. They didn't have to work, suffer, have pain, or die. But there was one thing that God told them to believe, and that was his one commandment to stay away from the forbidden tree. But then Satan came along in the form of a snake, tricked them, and talked them into eating the fruit that they ate. And so they got kicked out of the garden. They could no longer abide forever. They must now work, suffer, have pain, and die. This story is the creation story entered in Genesis for all mankind. It talks about everything that happened in the creation story. It talks about the fact that Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden. And so that you know, the Garden of Eden is not what people think it is. It is not just the location that was on the planet. We know it was on the continent of Africa, because the Bible actually talks about the rivers and that actually flowed into the garden. They talked about the Gihon River and the Euphrates River and things like that. And those rivers only exist in the continent of Africa. But the word Eden is not really a location alone. It is more of an atmosphere. It was a mixture, a combination, if you would, a place where heaven and earth coexisted. And this is really, really nice, because if you really do a good study, it tells you that we kind of have what we will have in the end, in the beginning. See, in the end of all things, the Bible says that Jesus showed John a new heaven and a new earth. And a new heaven came down to the earth at a certain location so that you would have a physical earth and a spiritual heaven that was combined together. And this is actually God's plan from the beginning. So just as things were in the beginning, that they will be in the end. So it was a location where with God was able to have a lifestyle of living and a lifestyle of existing with Adam and Eve, and they were all able to be in there together, together. This is awesome. And so the Bible says that when he created Adam, that the voice of the Lord would go down and walk with Adam. That's amazing that God's voice would accompany him and walk with him. That God revealed his power and his will, his communication standard in his voice, and allow it to be articulated by a human being. Isn't that absolutely amazing? But the Bible teaches that he did that just for Adam, and he allowed him to be able to commune with him. So God has always wanted to have communication with man. Awesome. Now, the part that I said in my poem about men and woman left to have no work, suffer, have pain, or die, is that they... it wasn't the same way as the work as we do now. The Bible teaches that even before Eve was born, or created, should I say, that God actually gave Adam a job. And his job was the same job that most boys normally get in their home, which is landscaping. He told him to place them in the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it. And so it was his job to keep the garden looking nice, keep it, you know, trimmed and presented well. And so this is something that was always given that was already given to Adam in the beginning. Now, the Bible saw that he gave Adam the responsibility of being able to name all the animals, and all the animals were able to reproduce after their own kind. All of the trees were able to reproduce after their own kind. All of the water animals and the bird and the fish were able to reproduce after their own kind. The birds of the air were able to reproduce after their own kind. The crawling things and creatures were able to reproduce after their own kind. But Adam was just alone, and he was not able to reproduce after his own. You know. So that's a big deal too. So if that's going to be the case, that means that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. That if he's going to be like God and be able to produce outside of himself, God has to now create that ability. So God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and then he created, took a rib out of Adam, and created a woman. Now, this is something that people have debated over for a long period of time, okay? A long period of time where people are always looking for an opportunity to try to argue against, debate, debunk, whatever you want to call it, the existence of Eve and how the Bible says that she came into being and where things were and how it was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And so it's one of those things that people have looked over for a long period of time and folks have always argued over. But the fact of the matter is the Bible says that that is the creation story. That is where we come from. Now, one of the things that are important is the fact that the Bible talks about it talks about how all of the things that God had did in the man, he also created the woman to fit with him, to work with him, to connect with him, to be part of him. And so that's part of her creation. God took a rib out of the man, and he created woman out of that rib. Now, this is going to shock some folks, but God is smarter, more powerful, all that kind of stuff than we are. So it's pretty important that we understand that he knows what he's doing. It's us are the ones that are confused about things. So when he created them, he put them together, and God, the Bible said sometime along, it doesn't tell us exactly when, Satan came along in the form of a serpent. And at that time, the serpents didn't have to crawl on their belly all the days of their life. So we don't know, but we know that they either stood upright or used to walk upright some kind of way. He was in the form of a serpent. And the Bible says that the serpent actually beguiled Eve, told her, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to eat off of the, I mean, you don't have to just eat all the rest of the plants. You can actually eat off the tree of this forbidden tree. So you can be just like God, and you will be able to do this, and you will be able to do that. And so she ate of the tree, and the Bible said nothing happened. But then she brought the fruit and gave it also to the man. And when she gave it to Adam, the Bible said he ate. And when both of them were eating, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And then they saw themselves, and they knew that they were naked. And they began to be ashamed, and they went and sewed fig leaves to cover themselves because they had caused themselves to become ashamed. Now, this is something that we always want to we'll take a look at to make sure that we can understand. The Bible says that she ate off the tree, but nothing happened until the man off the tree. Therefore, many conversations have gone over whether or not if he had never ate off the tree, what would have happened. You know, and that's where the context of this conversation for our topic of discussion came from. If Adam had gotten so angry with Eve, saying, you disobeyed God. And in the Old Testament, many times, they had a cultural corporate punishment called stoning, where if a person actually blasphemed against God, they would actually stone that person until they were dead. And so if that had been the case with Eve, and Adam decided to kill Eve, then what would have happened? I mean, you know, that's a really good question. I'd like to ask that to the studio audience. I want to know, you know, what would have happened if he would have killed Eve? Now sin wouldn't have entered into the world. So, you know, by removing that tree and that process of sin, you know, could that have saved the world? And then things would be so much different than what we know them now, that all of a sudden we could have that perfect utopian society where everybody had peace and we got along perfectly. Is that the way that things would have progressed, maybe? I'm curious. Anybody have any takers, any questions, any answers to that question? If so, chime in. Otherwise, send a text to 865-306-6362. Any of my studio listeners, I'll be more than open to hear your comments at this time. Okay, I'm getting a little bit of text message. I'm sure that you're listening right now, but some of your messages are not coming in complete sentences, so I don't want to misquote you. So if you do send it, just kind of double-check it, make sure it's going to be worded just right so that I won't misquote anyone. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to, but I just thought I'd mention that part, okay? Now, the Bible said that he took a rib out of man, and he put it into Adam. So the question is, does a woman have more ribs than a man? Okay. Well, okay, let's take a look at this. If you look at the anatomy of a person, and you totally look at a man, you know, skeleton, and you look at a woman's skeleton, you're going to find that both men and both women both have 24 ribs, okay? They got 12 on the left side, 12 on the right side, okay? The first 20 are located pretty much in the front of the body, but the last, you know, four of the ribs are kind of located on the back part, almost extensions of the person's back. They call them floating ribs, just so that you know. But that's a really, really good question. And someone else is asking, you know, where is it that it shows proof that the man, you know, that God took a rib out of man? Okay, good question. You're going to find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. And if you turn there, it says, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Right? So just because the Bible says that he took a rib out of man doesn't mean that God did not, you know, create the ability for every man after that to be able to have a rib. All right? So it's important. Now, you really, I got another question that's coming up that says, why didn't God just create Eve on her own without the need for Adam's rib? And the first question I want to say is, I don't know. Bible doesn't say why he didn't create. But one thing I will tell you is that when you have the pattern of creation, God created Adam and mankind. And when you use the pattern of Christianity, the pattern of when God starts something, he always starts it and allows it to grow on its own. He builds growth into it. It develops on its own. It begins to grow. So when God created the plants, he created the plants to where they would automatically grow. When he created the animals, they had everything they needed to continue to reproduce and grow. Same thing with the insects, same thing with the fish, okay? Same thing with all the crawling animals and insects, et cetera, et cetera. So when God created all these different things, they were created automatically with the ability to continue. The reason why is because God is not the author of death. He's the giver and the creator of life. And so when God gives life, it continues. Life never stops. It never goes away. When you look at light, light is one of the references given to God. Darkness is the absence of light. When a person doesn't have God, that's what creates darkness. That's what creates death. That's what creates lack. That's what creates harm. That's what creates disharmony. So when you look at it, it's actually, when you look at God's patterns, his patterns predict and share with us his nature. It tells us that God wants to start something. So Adam is not just a man. He is the first man that actually is the first man of all mankind. So it's very important that we understand that, because when we look at it, God's pattern was to create Adam and Eve, and for Adam and Eve to actually basically see the entire planet, to where everyone came from one person. And that's what we call mankind, right? That's how God works. So, one of the things that I thought was really nice about him using the rib to create her was that he puts the physical and spiritual significance of a man and a woman becoming one flesh. you know, by allowing them to be made of the same thing and coming from one another, you know, coming from you. So I thought that that was really, really nice. Also, I wanted to go over to the question. I didn't see any questions that popped up about what would happen if Adam and Eve had a situation and Adam refused the fruit and told Eve, I'm not going to take the fruit, and because you sinned against God, I'm going to kill you. Well, let's explore the options, shall we? First option, what if he kills Eve, and now, you know, because of that, there's no sin that's entered into the world, all right? Well, the first question is, would he be given the authority to be able to kill her? Because the Bible teaches that, you know, unless God gave them permission, you know, see, stoning became a culture after God gave them permission to allow it at one time. And so sin is not sin until God says it can't be happened. So when God told them not to do it, he did not create a punishment for it. So he did not tell them, if a person does this, do that to them. So there was no consequences built into the restriction. So first of all, Adam would not have had a recourse to do it. He had no real reason to kill her, even if she did sin. However, he did not have to take of the fruit and sin along with her and cause the fall of mankind, which he represented. And so the Bible says, through one man, sin entered into the world. And it's talking about through Adam as the author, first male of mankind altogether, which is a pretty good question. The second thing is, had he killed Eve anyway, he could have been committing sin himself. And had he done that, sin still would have entered into the world. And matter of fact, even though all they did was eat off the tree, and some folks didn't see that as really harmful, the repercussions caused their first and second born child to fight one another to the death, and one of their children, Cain, killed the other child, Abel. And so that's, you know, sin entered into the world, also started at a grave cost and created great controversy because of that sin. The third thing we want to look at is the fact that had he killed Eve, look at the time frame here. At the time that they sinned in the garden and both of them ate off the tree, when Eve ate off this fruit, she had not had any children yet. So the only two humans on the planet was Adam and Eve. So had he killed Eve, guess what? Unless God created another woman, how in the world was you going to ever have children? So all of mankind still would have been wrapped up into Adam, and he still would be lonely. And according to that anatomy, he would not be able to procreate. So he could not have children beyond himself. That's something to think about. So when we take a look at this, that makes us think about something. All right? So it's important. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I'm sorry. So
it's all right.
Was the sin on Adam, or was the sin on Eve, or was it a conjugate of sin? Who was responsible for the sin?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, because we don't have time to really expound, I'd love to ask you guys who you thought was that wrong. Was it Adam's fault? Was it Eve's fault? You know, was it the serpent's fault? You know, I'm going to go ahead and sum that up by giving you what the Bible talks about later on in the chapter. It talks about how, if you really want to know whose fault it is, look at the most just person involved in the creation story, God. So in order to find out who was at fault, let's find out what God did about it and who he put the fault on. So the first person he came up to was Adam, because Adam had the most authority given by God. Everything was given to him even before there was an Eve. So he comes to Adam, and he was in trouble, and he says, you know, why did you do this? And he said, well, that woman you gave me, and tried to shift the blame onto her. But when it comes to God, every tub has a stand on his own bottom. So God actually told the man what his punishment was, told Eve what her punishment was, and when he came to her, she blamed the serpent. So she's following his wrongful actions already. And then he not only gave both of them what their consequences were, but he also told the serpent, you share some blame into this too. And said, you know, so each one of them, Adam now has to work by the sweat of his brow, because and in the beginning, he had the special ability to control plants and animals differently. And so because of his disobedience and turning away from God, he lost his ability to be able to control plants. And now the only way he can cause plants to grow is by digging in the ground, carving into the ground, and having a plant seed and fertilize and all this kind of stuff. So that same life-giving quality that God has in himself, he had imparted some of that into man. Also, he told him that you're going to work by the sweat of your brow, these are your life. And so man's going to always be working all the time. The second thing is Eve. He told her that that she was going to greatly increase her labor. And when she has children, that she's going to have sorrow and that she's going to bring forth life. Remember, the ability to create life was something that was given to God. Because he had a perfect relationship, it also was imparted into man. But they had not had children yet. So now, in order for us to create life, it causes pain. It's painful physically, and it's also painful financially. I just threw that financial part in there. Because according to the latest statistics, to raise a child from birth to 18 years old, it actually costs $250,000. So that's a lot of money. And then he also told her that she her desire is always going to be to the man. So not only is she going to desire to be with a man, care, have a man who loves her, cares about her, but she's also going to envy the fact that a man is there. And the Bible says your desire is going to be towards the man and that he's going to rule over you all the days of your life. When you put those two together, it points out the fact that a man is always going to be in charge of most authoritative things, and that God had put that rulership there, but at the same time that the woman is going to have a built-in nature to kind of resist him. So the same thing that man did to God, woman is going to do to man. That's where that phrase, what goes around comes around, the fruit apple don't fall far from the tree, you reap what you sow, all of that. It's all in the gumbo. Third, he looks at the serpent, and the serpent now is told, you are going to have to crawl on your belly all the days of your life, and you're going to eat dust because you're down on the ground. And not only that, but you're going to create enmity between mankind and man's seed and the serpent's seed. So all of the serpents now are going to be not like men, and men are not going to like serpents, and people are afraid of them, and even if they're not that harmless, they still kill them. That's where that all comes from. And so everyone now is blamed. Adam was blamed for his part. Eve was blamed for her part. The serpent was blamed for his part as well. When it comes down to God, every tub has a stand on his own bottom. You can't get to heaven on somebody else. And so you're always going to be judged according to your own actions. So hopefully that answers your question. But the discussion that we had about Adam and Eve was pretty controversial. But I hope that we got down to the meat of the matter. Do we have any additional questions before we get ready to close this session of Sunday Drive Talk out on today? If so, speak now, or for this week, hold your peace. Any other questions? Well, I want to say thank you so much, you Sunday Drive Talkers, for your input, for your support, and for all that you do. Remember, the only Bible people read is you. So make sure that you live a life that tells the truth about who God is, so that you will tell the story no matter what you do. Don't only know who Jesus is, but live for Jesus And that's how we do Jesus to someone each and every day. Remember, our motto is we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Until next time, as Miss Janice Hudson Mazzie would say, have a victorious week in Jesus.